Well, there was a survey that came out several years ago that dealt with how the world and how the culture views the church. In fact, one of the questions, or one of the key questions, was, why don't you go to church? Because they sent this survey to people who have no connection with church, who claim to be non-believers and non-churchgoers. And so they asked the question, why don't you go to church? There were four answers that came up over and over and over again. One of them was, I don't want to go. There's just too many other things I want to do. But one was this, that the church has too many rules. Another one was that the church just wants our money. And then another one was, people in church don't seem to have any fun. That's how they thought it. So the world sometimes views the church, so they think, we don't have any fun, we got too many rules, and we only want their money. Many people feel this way. There are times when I walk into a place and people will know me, but they'll say, hey, here's the preacher, we better take up an offering. People think the church wants money. Does the church want people's money? Why is this view thought that way? I think, first of all, there's a misunderstanding of the Bible, the ministry, the whole idea of biblical giving, how that fits. But there's a second thing, that we find that there are false teachers whose goal in ministry is money. They'll do whatever it takes, do anything, even lead people astray for money. And this is what we're going to find in Jude verse 11, as Jude describes these false teachers who, he says, for pay have followed the error of Balaam. Well, what is this? And it's for money, basically. It leads people astray, leads people even causing them to sin. This is the error of Balaam, and we'll see this as it, how it fits together as we go through this. Let's begin. Think about our study, where we are. Remember, Jude is writing to the believers to stand firm, to stand for the truths of God's Word. False teachers have crept into the church, he says. And as we've gone through this study so far, we've gotten a pretty good picture of these false teachers. Look back at verse 4. He says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, and then he names two things about them. One, who changed the grace. They turned the grace of our God into licentiousness. And number two, they deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. First thing we saw about them is they changed the grace of God into a fleshly lifestyle. And the second thing is they deny Jesus Christ as God and Master. We see a little bit later on, as we got down to verse 8, he says the three things about him. Look at verse 8, he says, yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming do three things. Defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. He says they live by the flesh, they reject God's authority, which is the Word of God and Himself. And as we saw in that passage, it said they literally make fun of angels. And now we move down to verse 11. And in verse 11, we see three more things about these false teachers. He says in verse 11, woe to them. They have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Three things, way of Cain, error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. The way of Cain we saw last week was works for salvation. The error of Balaam is greed for money. They lead people to sin. And the rebellion of Korah was the rejection of God's authority. There's one thing we see over and over in this passage or in this book, and that is we saw it in verse 4 and in verse 10, that those who are false teachers, they can expect condemnation and judgment. Now last time as we started verse 11, we saw the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? And we said, simply put, the way of Cain is false teachers teaching that you come to God by your good works. There are people who teach that all over the place. They say, do good and God will love you. Do the following things. Join a church. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. Do the best you can. Give money. Do those kind of things and God will accept you. That's false teaching. That's the way of Cain. The only way you can approach God is not by your good works. We saw this last week, but it is simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's provision that mankind can come to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through Him. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. Acts 4:12. The only way we can approach God is not the way of Cain, which is works, but the way of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we saw that last time. Well, this morning, now we're going to look at this second thing. And look again at verse 11. It says, woe to them, they have gone the way of Cain. We saw that last week. And here's some more about these false teachers. For pay, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. As we look at that this morning, let's think about this error of Balaam. We're going to look at four things. The first is we're going to raise the question, who is Balaam? I mean, who is this guy? Second is, what is the error of Balaam? What did he do? Third, we're going to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, and we're going to see this Old Testament event. What happened? And then the fourth thing, there's going to be some things we're going to talk about. Let's remember, what are false teachers? What can they learn from this? And what can we learn from this? So there's a lot there. Let's begin with Balaam. Who is this guy? I mean, he's mentioned in a number of places in the Bible. He's mentioned the book of Revelation. He's mentioned the book of Jude, 2 Peter, the book of Numbers. He's mentioned four or five different places. Now, who was he? Well, as best we can tell, he was a prophet. He's found in the book of Numbers, but he was a prophet. He had the ability to give prophecies, to give information. But one thing we find out about him, he did it for money. He did it for pay. He lived in a city which was called Pethor, and it was near the Euphrates River. He's never called a prophet of God, but he does have apparently the ability to do some prophecies. God allows him to do that. He had a reputation for doing what he did for money. Now, how does he fit into the scripture? You remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. At the end of that 40-year time period, under Moses' leadership, they move up through the land of Moab and they stop and they're right across from Jericho and they're on the east side of the Jordan and they've stopped there. Now, Moses is going to die and Joshua is going to lead the people in. But before all this happens, as they pass through this land of Moab, now God had already told the Jewish people, don't bother the Moabites. As they pass through the land of Moab, there is a king there. His name is Balak. And he's afraid of the Jewish people. He sees them coming through. He sees all of these people coming, and he's afraid that they're going to conquer them. In fact, he's already known that the Jewish people have conquered people. He's afraid they're going to conquer them. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire that prophet named Balaam. And I'm going to have him come, and I'm going to have him curse these people. Because if he curses them, I can probably whip them. So I'm going to hire him. So what we find out about Balaam is he lived at this time, and he was hired by King Balak, or Balak, to come and curse God's people. That's the plan. We're going to find as we go through this passage, especially when we look in the Old Testament part, that he couldn't do that. He couldn't curse them because God had already blessed them, and what God blesses, you can't curse. When you think about Balaam, there's a number of things, but he's remembered really for three big things. One, for his greed. Number two, for the fact that he led Israel to sin. We'll talk more about how he did that. He caused the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, to do wrong, and we'll talk about that. And there's a third thing that he is remembered for. He had a donkey that talked, that God opened the mouth of a donkey, and the donkey was able to speak. We'll see that as we go back to the book of Numbers. So Balaam is a prophet for hire. Balak wanted to pay him money to curse God's people. Let's look at our second thing. What was the error of Balaam? Look at verse 11. It says this, woe to them, they've gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. Now, two things stand out in verse 11, because remember, he's talking about these false teachers. Two things, one for pay, and the second is the error. Now, for pay, these false teachers at the time of Jude, and false teachers we find now, they were doing what they were doing for money. We might call it, you know, making money in religion. That was their plan. They were doing what they were doing for money. Now, God's Word tells us that anybody is in a place of leadership and in a ministry must not be in it for the money. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 says, those in leadership must be free from the love of money. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, it says that you're not in it for filthy gain, to gain money. False teachers do that. They do it for money. The second little thing to think about is the error of Balaam. What did he do? And simply put, he did this. He led God's people astray to sin for money. He caused the nation of Israel to do wrong, to sin. And we're going to see the details in a minute on what he did. Jude says these false teachers are the same way. They lead people astray. They cause people to go wrong. They cause people to sin. And they do it for the money. They will do whatever people want. They will say things and do things to get the money. Now let's see this. Hold your place in Jude, and I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, which is just a couple of more pages toward the back of your Bible, to Revelation chapter 2. And we get sort of a little summary here of what Balaam did. We'll see more, of course, when we go back to the Old Testament. But look at Revelation chapter 2, and look at verse 14. John is writing, of course, and he's writing to the church at Pergamum, but here's what he says about him, and he mentions Balaam. Revelation 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. Now, what is the teaching of Balaam? He kept teaching Balak. He kept telling Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. What was that stumbling block? To eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. It says that Balaam told Balak to put a stumbling block to cause the nation of Israel to sin in two ways. One is idol worship, we're going to see that in a minute, and the other was sexual immorality. He led God's people to do wrong. I want you to turn to Numbers. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The fourth book of the Old Testament. Numbers 31. We're going to see a little bit more information of what he did, and then we're going to get into the actual passage. Look at Numbers 31, just verse 16, as Moses is writing and talking. Verse 16 says, "Behold," this is Numbers 31, 16, "behold these," and he's talking about women. He says, "Behold, these women caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor." So the plague was among the congregation of the Lord. The plague came and God destroyed 24,000 people. Now what in the world did Balaam do? What Balaam did is he told Balak to send some women into the camp and they would cause false worship and sexual immorality and God would judge the people. The counsel of Balaam brought in this thing. So when we say the error of Balaam, which led to people's sin, was the sacrifice to idols and sexual immorality with foreign women, basically. All of this he did for money. Now let's see the event. And that will help put the whole thing together. But I want you to see the event. Just turn in your Bible to Numbers 22. Just a couple more pages back toward the front of your Bible to Numbers chapter 22. As you're turning there, just remember, the nation of Israel has been wandering for 40 years. That 40-year time period is up. Moses has led them up through the land of Moab, and they're about to cross over the Jordan River and to conquer Jericho. You know the story. That's in the book of Joshua, because Moses dies, and Joshua leads the children, into the nation of people, into the land. But it's before they go in. And as all of these people are all lined up, and they're all having a big, they're camping out, and they're ready to cross over, Balak looks out there and he sees this nation of people and scares him to death. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "Then the sons of Israel journeyed and they camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho." They've come up and they're getting ready to cross over. Now Balak looks out there and sees all these people. Look at verse 2. "Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel." Now he looked out there and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. These people are going to conquer us. I know that they've conquered some of the Amorites already. And they're very powerful people, and apparently they're very blessed people. We've got to stop them somehow. I do not want to get conquered." So he comes up with an idea. Look what it is, verse 5. "So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, the Euphrates River, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, 'Behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me.'" Basically, they're right beside me here. "Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they're too mighty for me. Perhaps I might be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So he sent messengers to this guy named Balaam, and he said, "Listen, I know you're a prophet. I need some help. These big people, they come up, they're covering my land. I don't know what to do. I can't defeat them. Would you come and curse these people for me? Because whoever you bless seems to be blessed, and whoever you curse seems to be cursed. And so I'd like for you to come do that." Of course, it's going to have to be for money. Because see, what the word is, hey, yeah, that guy will come do it, but you got to pay him. So look at the next verse, verse 7. "So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's word to him." Now they said, "Here, you better take some money." So they took some money, and they go find him, and they come up to Balaam, and they said, "Listen, we need some help. Balak has sent us with some money, and he sent us for you to come over there and curse these people." And you can almost see Balaam going, "Just how much money you got there?" But here's what he does. He says this, look at verse 8, "And he said to them, 'Spend the night here. I will bring back word to you as the Lord may speak to me.' And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam." Now he said, "Listen, I can't make that decision right off the top of my head like that. What I need to do is I need to go talk to God. Let me talk to God and he'll tell me whether I can go or not." They said, "Okay." So they spent the night. Verse 12, "And God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.' So Balaam rose up in the morning and he said to Balak's leaders, 'Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you.'" Now, in the night, God, the message came to him and says, "You shall not go with them. You can't go with them. They are my people. They are blessed. You can't curse them. Don't go." So he got up the next morning, and it looks like he's going to do good, because he says, listen, I can't go with you. So you might as well go back. The God says I can't go, so go back. Now, by the way, how much money was that again? Now, go on. Well, they leave. It looks like, well, he did okay. But that's not the end of the story. Look at verse 17. Well, go back to verse 15. Then Balak sent again leaders, more numerous, more distinguished than the former. They came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me. Now, first of all, he sent more important messengers. And they came and they said, listen, we're just begging you, don't let anything stop you from coming. Verse 17, for I will indeed honor you richly. I got a lot of money. I mean, we're not talking about a little bit of money. We're talking about a lot of money for you to come do this. And I will do whatever you say to me. Please come and curse these people for me. So they come the second time and they said, listen, we got a deal for you. We want you to come no matter what. And look, we got a lot of money. And he went, that is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. What he should have said was, you know, listen, it doesn't matter how much money you bring, really, because it doesn't matter because God's already told me I can't go. But that's not exactly what he says. Verse 19. He says, look, please stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me. He doesn't need to go back to God. He doesn't need to go back to God again and say, by the way, God, do you think maybe you might have changed your mind on this thing? The money's getting bigger. God hadn't changed his mind. Now look at the verse. Verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to you, come to call you, rise up and go with him, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. I want you to understand now, you can't tell it until we get the whole passage. God's not wanting him to go. God, in a way, is saying, look, if you're going to go, you go. I've already told you not to go. I do not want you to go. In fact, it's wrong for you to go. But if you're going to go, you're not going to ever be able to say anything but whatever I say through you. You may say, well, how do we know that it's really wrong? Because doesn't God really say, well, get up and go? Look at verse 21. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab, but God was angry because he was going. Look, God already told him the first time, you cannot go. Do not go. Well, he comes back and basically in a sense is saying, God, they offered me more money. Let me go. And God is saying, okay, you're going to rise up and go with him? You go, but you'll never be able to say but whatever I tell you. This is where we're meeting the famous donkey. That's in chapter verse 21. So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the leaders of Moab. And notice, but God was angry because he was going. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. I want you to understand that as he's going, God's trying to stop him. God puts an angel there to block the way. God's protecting him, what he's trying to do. He just doesn't realize it. It's not a wise thing to go. He's going to go anyway. I want you to notice something. Verse 22 again says, God was angry because he was going. The angel of the Lord took his stand as an adversary. Now he was riding with his donkey and two servants with him. Notice verse 23. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Now, I want you to understand that this donkey can see the angel of the Lord, but Balaam can't see him because he's got his mind on the money. All he can see is bucks, money. I'm going to get some money for this thing. I mean, a lot of money for this thing. And here he's going, and his donkey sees the angel, and the donkey takes off right into the field. And you can just see him beating that donkey. What? Get back up there. What do you think you're doing? We're going down the path. That's exactly what happened. Went off into the field. He's saying, whoa, whoa, get up on this thing. So we go on again. Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Verse 24, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyard with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. He's riding against some of these little walls. The angel stands there. The donkey moves over to the side of the wall, hits his foot against the side of the wall, and he's beating the donkey. This is ridiculous. What's wrong with my donkey? Donkey's trying to save his life. He can't see the angel. Then watch what happened. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with a stick. I mean, she just stopped and went down. And he's beating her and said, I don't understand this donkey. Why don't the donkey go on? Angry. In verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you would have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a mockery of me. Now he's talking back to the donkey, because you made a mockery. I guess if you were there and the donkey talked to you, you might talk back too. He said, because you made a mockery of me. If I'd had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. And the donkey said to Balaam, listen, am I not your donkey in which you've ridden all of your life up to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? And he said, well, no. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with the drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. It was an angel. The donkey was saving his life. And God opened the mouth of a donkey to try to stop Balaam from making a bad mistake. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with a drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to you as an adversary, because your way was contrary to me. Contrary. You're going against God and His Word. You know what he does? Keeps on going. He says, if the donkey had not turned aside, I would have killed you by now. He goes on, and as we get into chapter 23, he gets to Balak. He says, I'm here. By the way, where's the money? How much money is this we're talking about? It's a pretty good bit of money. Okay, I'm here. He says, I'm going to take you to a place, and I want you to look out over there. See them? Yeah. All those people? Curse them for me. He says, now listen, I only got one thing I tell you. I can only say whatever God says for me to say. He says, okay, go ahead. He blesses them. Look what happened. He blessed them. Look at verse chapter 23. Look at verse 11. Look what happens. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I told you to curse my enemies, but behold, you've actually blessed them. And he said, look, must I not be careful to speak whatever the Lord puts in my mouth? So Balak says to him, look, please come with me to another place from where you may see them. Although you've only seen the extreme end of them. Maybe you hadn't seen all of them. Curse them from there. He says, listen, maybe you didn't get a good view. Let's go over here. Look, go over here and I look out. Can you see them better? See them? Yeah, I see them. Curse them for me. And you know what happens? He blesses them again because God says bless them. Watch what happens. Verse 25 of Numbers 23. Then Balak said to Balaam, do not curse them at all. Do not bless them at all. In other words, he's saying, would you shut up then? If you're going to do that, you're killing me. But Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you that whatever the Lord speaks I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, look, please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with God that you would curse them for me from there. He says, look, let me go. One more place. Look, here's a better view. Now, curse them. Please, perhaps God will let you curse them. Well, look at chapter 24, look at verse 10. Because guess what happened? As you can probably already guess, he wasn't able to curse them. He spoke God's word, and it was blessing to the nation of Israel. 24 verse 10, then Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have persisted in blessing them, these people, three times. Therefore, flee to your place now. I said I would honor you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor. He slapped his hands together and he went, that's it. I told you, I asked you three times to curse them, three times you blessed them. You think you're getting the money? You're not getting the money. Get out of here. You're not getting the money. Now, for a guy who does this stuff for money, those are not great words to say to him. You're not getting the money. He said, I got to get the money. I got to figure out a way to get the money. I can't curse them because God won't let me curse them. But I'm not going away from here without that money somehow. What did he do? He came up with a plan. He said, I got a plan. Come here, Balak. I got a plan. You want to curse those people? I can't curse them, but I know a way to curse them. What you do is you get some women, and you go into the camp, and they bring some food and they bring some of their false gods and let those women get with those men. And those men will end up worshiping those false gods, and they'll end up having sex with those ladies. That's what they'll do. He said, good idea. He said, give me the money. Now, wait till it happens. Look at chapter 25, verse 1. While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. So they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to the gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal, that's a false god, of Peor. And the Lord was angry against Israel. They came right into that camp and did exactly what Balaam said they would do. And verse 9 says, and those who died by the plague were 24,000 people. See, Balaam said this, if I just get them to get down there and do wrong, God's going to judge his people. I know what God does, and that'll be cursing them, and I'll get the money. And that's exactly what he did. Chapter 31 of this book, verse 16 says, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, it says, these women caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord, and a plague was on the congregation of Israel. See, for money, Balaam figured out a way to lead the nation of Israel astray so that God would judge him. That's his plan. I want you to go ahead and turn almost to the back of your Bible to 2 Peter. James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. When you get to 2 Peter, look at chapter 2, and we want to see verse 15. And as you're turning there, remember that Peter is writing about the same thing as Jude is writing about. He's writing about false teachers. And look what he says. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. He's talking about false teachers. I'll give everybody just a second to get there. We're having to move around a lot today, but you do that when you see a story like this. 2 Peter 2, 15 says, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. Talking about false teachers. Having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. What is the way of Balaam? Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved to get money for things that are wrong. He led the nation of Israel astray. Back to Jude, verse 11. He says, woe to them, woe to these false teachers. They have gone the way of Cain, that's works for salvation. And for pay, they have rushed headlong into the era of Balaam. For money, they lead people astray. They cause people to do wrong. There are false teachers today who will say anything and do anything to get people to give them money. There's a guy on television that tells you if you'll send him money, God will give you 10 times whatever you send into him. If you send me $100, God will give you $1,000. He says that. Why? Because he wants your money. And if you don't get it, he just says, I'm sorry, you must not have had enough faith. That's why you didn't get the money you promised. He wants your money, but he got your money. There's a guy, you remember him several years ago, had a prayer cloth, that if you sent some money for the prayer cloth, he would have prayed over it, and you get it, and it will heal you. They got the money, people got the prayer cloths. We know in some exposés several years ago that money was sent into some ministries for schools and orphanages that didn't even exist. Send money in for this orphanage, and there's no such place. They just want your money. Careful. Listen to this. This is Jude verse 16. It describes these people. It says they are grumblers, finally falling after their own lust, speaking arrogantly, flattering the people for the sake of gaining an advantage. And that means not only taking advantage of the people, but getting their money as well. And what can we remember? What can we learn from this? Well, first of all, I want you to realize the false teachers don't get away with it. Listen to this. This is Numbers 31, verse 8. Just listen. Don't turn back there. It says this, that the children of Israel, they kill the king of Midian, along with the rest of their slain, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, Reba, the five kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. He didn't get away with it. People who lead others astray will never get away with it. God deals with false teachers. There's a thing we got to remember and be careful in our society today, because we're in that time that everybody wants their needs met and everybody wants what's best for them. And there are people who so easily go right after a false teacher because he'll promise to give them something. Listen to this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Just listen. There a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll move away from true teaching. Wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myth. There are people who will turn away from God's word. They will go listen to people who will promise them things, false teachers, just because they want to hear some new thing, some different thing. Listen, the truths of the Bible don't change. And as you've been a Christian for a while, you may say, well, that's some great truths. I need to start applying them. What else is there? Well, there's a whole book. But there are some people who say, well, I want some new something, something different. Well, you can find some people that will give you any kind of thing different, especially if you'll give them money for them to tell it to you. And that's what you find. He says, Jude says, these false teachers have for money gone after the error of Balaam. We've seen Jude describes false teachers. He says they've gone the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah for money. The error of Balaam is for money. False teachers lead people astray, even causing people to sin. God will deal with them. Let me give you two quick applications. The first one is this. Be discerning. Be able to recognize false teachers. They try to fool you. They try to offer new things. They lead people astray for money. They say, send it into them. There are people who say things, if you'll send money to me, you'll be blessed. That's what they want. They want people to give them money. We see them on TV in the health and the wealth, prosperity gospel. In the past, people like Joseph Smith, Sun Moon, New Age, all of those different things. I told you about the lady. Her name is J.Z. Knight. She lives in Oregon. She supposedly is a channeler that a 4,000-year-old Tibetan monk speaks through her and gives words of wisdom. Of course, for money, she will let you come to her. You give her money, and she will let this thing speak through her and give you advice. People are coming from all over the United States to pay this woman. It's a false teacher. How do we be prepared? We must know the truths of the Word of God and be ready to give an answer. You must know what the Scripture has to say. You must be able to recognize immediately somebody who's telling us false stuff. That's what we've been seeing all the way through the book. Second application is the whole idea of money. How does this thing fit in? Because so many people have pushed things the wrong way that a lot of people think the church wants your money. I want you to understand the issue of the local body when we come together is not money. It is to worship our Savior Jesus Christ. It is to be trained and equipped. It is to evangelize and to serve others. It is not to get money. There is an aspect of money. Money has a place. When believers come together, money is used to support the ministries of a local body. But I want you to understand, your giving is your response to God. It's an act of worship. In fact, when you give, there are three things involved with your giving. It is an act of worship, it is an act of love, and it is an act of trust. It is an act of worship that when you give, you are offering to God an act of worship. Out of what God has blessed you, you're saying to God, I love you, and this is an act of worship to you. Philippians talked about that when you give, that's what it is. It's also an act of love. It is showing your love for God and your love for others. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It is an act of trust. If you had $100 and you gave 20 away, you're going to have to trust God that you live on the 80 like you would have lived on the 100. It's an act of trust. So when you give, it's not that the church says, hey, we need your money. It's your opportunity as a believer in a local body to have an act of love, an act of worship, and an act of trust. False teachers will tell you that the reason you give is so you can get blessed. They say, if you give to God, God will bless you. That's not your motive for giving. Your motive for giving is an act of love, an act of worship, and an act of trust. May we recognize false teachers who lead people astray for money. And may we give as an act of love, an act of worship, and an act of trust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. There's so much in there. And as we think about it, we realize that we need to be ready to recognize false teachers, especially those who have gone after that error of Balaam, which is for money. They will do whatever it takes, even leading people astray. May we know your word and be ready and be equipped so that we can stand for truth. Lord, may we realize how money fits in the local body. It is a way of worship. It is a way of trusting. It is a way of loving. We know that the money is used to help the ministry go. But Lord, the church doesn't want people's money in that sense. We know our God has the cattle on a thousand hill. He will supply every need that we ever have. And so the whole issue of money is that it's for our benefit to give as an act of love, worship, and trust. Lord, may we be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. May we recognize false teachers. And may we be ready to stand for the truth of your word. We ask this in Christ's name.